This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
So we've got a couple of guests in here in the studio that I'm going to introduce. We have Claude Lombard. He's an artist, and his exhibition is called The Strategic Expectations. And joining him is Marie Coote, who, from the Marie Coote Gallery. She's the owner of the gallery and also an artist herself. And it's Melbourne style. And so we're going to welcome Marie. She's going
to thank you. Thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, a lot of people know you, Marie, because you've been on this show a few times.
Turn the history with you guys, haven't I?
You're regular.
Because you're an artist and a gallery owner as well.
Yes.
So give us a bit of a background on what you do as an artist.
Well, you know, I'm inspired by Melbourne, which is kind of the thread that runs through everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Melbourne Style Gallery sort of focuses on the city and the things that make it what it is. So my work does the same. My books and art are mostly Melbourne-centric.
Yep.
And so that's actually what brought Claude's work into the gallery for this show. I met a wonderful woman called Rachel Porter at the Melbourne Awards one year, and she connected the two of us just recently.
Right.
Claude's a Melbourne guru, Melbourne identity.
Identity.
He, you know, he's been running his business here for many, many years. So that's one side of his life. But on another side of his life, he's an artist, and he's been painting now for quite a long time. This is his, I think, ninth show.
Wow.
His first with us at Melbourne Style. And, so it's lovely to have him.
Great.
Thanks for having us both here.
Fantastic. So, Claude, where did it all start for you as an artist? Because you're a businessman.
I am.
And you know, like, where did the art start?
On the 17th of October 2007, a good friend of mine, Peter Russell Clark,
right,
said to me, "I'm going to have to teach you to paint."
Oh.
Which was interesting. And if you know Peter, he's pretty brutal. And after about three or four goes where he reminded me I was the pupil and he was the teacher, and then he walked out on me. Then I went to Boxhill TAFE, and I had a wonderful teacher there called Nadia, who said, "Your style is so unique, I'm not going to teach you anything.
Oh,
you just do what you do and you'll find your way." And then I went to Sydney College of the Arts, just take a week off and go and do that. So I've been painting. I've had, I think, seven or eight shows, mm-hmm. all called Expectations. The very first one was Great Expectations. And I'm realistic enough to know that the first stuff wasn't really that great, but I sold everything. Some of them were really good, but art is so subjective. So getting the theme for a show is the hardest part. So what I've done for this particular show is I've used the stories of battle lines. So Waterloo, Napoleon against the British.
Right.
And read the story. And then my paintings are multi-level. So I would start off with a battle scene, no blood and guts, and then I'd overpaint it and then overpaint it again. So there'd be three paintings, one on top of the other. And to get the real essence of the story, I would put elements of a battle in. My favourite battle, then all of them were disasters and all of them were military disasters, and everybody made a mistake.
Yeah.
Funny about that. Like Silver Bay, Lone Pine, Anzac Cove, part of the story that nobody ever talks about is that the Australians ran out of water. So when they got into the Turkish mountains, they were so dehydrated they couldn't move.
Oh.
So the Turkish people just shot them. They just
killed.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So,
and can I butt in and say that despite this dismal military detail, Claude's paintings are really vibrant and energetic.
They're quite
beautiful,
yes.
He kind of ingests all this historic military information. He reads topographic maps and, you know, battle plans and history, and then he kind of filters all of that information into marks and sketchings and partially representational, most of it abstract, expressionism, expression of that particular event.
And that's what I love about it, Claude, is that you're looking, when you first look at it, you just think that this is fantastic modern art.
Mm.
But then when you're told that, and you've plotted the, you know, like the war within, you know, like the painting, but then you've overpainted, it's fascinating.
Well, first of all, I didn't want to make it blood and guts because it's very easy to splash red paint on a canvas and say it's blood and guts. I didn't want to do that. What I want to do is portray that there are elements of a battle that is very humanistic, but also there's a lot to be learned from history. Unfortunately, we don't teach history well enough, but there's so many things to be learned from history. So I read the battles and then used the battle lines for the outlines and then put in little details. So on some of them you'll find there's some Napoleonic soldiers there, there's cannonballs, there's things that are there, but there's not one single scene of a single person being actually injured.
Yeah.
So why battles?
Sorry?
Why battles?
Well, exactly why battles. To get a theme like Marie doing Concentrate on Melbourne, this one here, I just concentrated because you need a theme for your show. This is taking a year's work, so I wanted to do a theme, and I thought I like these battle ideas. I like Napoleonic War. I like the uniforms. I fenced for 30 odd years, so I love swords and things. So I used Napoleonic. Started with that. So my first painting was Napoleon. It was Waterloo. The most tragic of all these things is Borodino, which is the French went to Russia. 450,000 men went, not one single one returned to France.
Gosh.
Oh, my God.
Not one.
Gosh.
And every battle, like General Lee with Gettysburg, again a disaster. He lost the war and the 4th of July, actually, and that's why American Independence Day is 4th of July, and he lost the Battle of Gettysburg on that date.
Yep.
So there's all these historical elements. So I put all these little bit of stories in each one, and I use bright colours. I didn't use, you know, blood and guts.
They are so vibrant. They're all, you know, like you want it. It's just so vibrant. And there's one in particular I'm looking at. Is that a coastline that I'm seeing there?
Yes, it is.
And so that was a battle that happened on a coast.
Number nine was Borodino, which is Russia.
Oh, that's the Russian one.
Those lines, the top white bits on that painting, is actually snow.
Oh, okay.
So it's not actual coastline.
Right.
The other interesting one is the charge of the Light Brigade, which is Balaclava, that the general gave the instructions to charge the cannons. But there was cannons in the front of them, but there was also cannons on either side of the valley.
Right.
So when the instruction was given to Lord Cardigan and said, charge the cannons, and a fellow called Nolan said, and Cardigan said, which cannon? He said, oh, those cannons. So pointed to the wrong cannons.
Oh, no.
So 300 men went up and only about 30 or 40 came back. The hook with that story is that Cardigan survived the attack, and when he went back to Lord Lucan, he said to him, What's this rule you told me, this thing to attack? He said, it's not my writing, it's his writing.
Oh.
So they nicknamed him Lord Lucan after that.
Mm-hmm. So with the odd Marie...
I was just going to say that all this detail is very layered into the paintings. So they do look like abstract expressionism, but if you have the artist talk you through one and point out the minuscule details, the minutiae of each battle, you will see, you know, an eye or a chevron of a uniform or little black graphic marks, graphic lines in a row which represent all the tombs or all of the graves, or even green rectangles, many of which are the half acre blocks that were given to the soldiers after. So there's sort of graphic representations of the backstory. So it's not obvious when you look at the work.
And it's a historical sort of lesson as well. So you can actually learn the history of these battles.
Is that what you hope to get for the viewer to get out of it?
Paint's just an artist, just the paint evolves. You throw a couple of lines on the canvas and it just grows from that, and you never know what the end result's going to be. If you did, you wouldn't paint it.
But the one thing that I want to ask you, you know, like you actually planned it out first and then you started adding the colours. How many layers are there on some of these?
Okay. That's the trick. The trick is to know when to stop.
Going overpaint.
With all things in life.
So if you look at the first painting there, I think it's Yorktown, you'll see some little white squares on it. Now, they don't really represent anything, but they just needed something to lighten the painting up. So I put these tiny little one-inch squares on the canvas just to make it look... And it worked. And it's my favourite painting, and it started off being the least favourite, but it became the best. It's the best size, and the little white squares just gave it that extra depth, which was really interesting. So you don't know what a painting's going to be like when it's finished, and the trick is to know when to stop.
Know when it is finished, and you go, that's it, stop painting.
And how big are they?
Oh, the size. Oh, right.
A meter by two or a meter square.
Big paintings.
Pretty big paintings. Quite large, and, yeah. And they seem it too. You know, like looking on the sheets that we're looking at now, they seem like big paintings.
Yeah, they're actually great in the space. They look terrific if people want to come and have a look. They're really, it's just jumping in there. Yeah. The moment's jumping.
And you're like, so go online to
melbournestyle.com.au. And if you just click the news page, you'll see a reference to the show.
Yep.
And there's one or two images there.
Right.
But come on down and have a look in the gallery space.
So whereabouts are you? What's your address?
Hello, brain. 155 Clarendon Street, 155 Clarendon Street, South Melbourne.
And it's a store on the ground floor with all your Melbourne style stuff and then the galleries upstairs.
Upstairs, that's right. Yeah.
And your beautiful husband will take you upstairs.
He'll be there and he'll take care of you, yeah. Yep.
And it's hanging now.
And it's there till the 25th. So
not long, so get down there now.
Yep. Claude, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for your amazing art. You should be very proud of what you're doing.
One thing. I've always listened to you guys on a radio station.
Oh, thank you.
That's nice. Painting number 8, Mao's Paratroopers. I will get delivered that here and you can have an auction and sell it off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's wonderful.
This.
Claude.
We actually are doing a Sunday arts auction where we're asking all artists to donate. Yes. Marie has donated before. We've got one coming up.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
A beautiful painting. Number 8's a great one.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks to Claude Lombard, who is the artist in question, and Marie Coote, who is the gallerist who is showing Claude's work at Melbourne Style. It's 155 Clarendon Street, South Melbourne, and you can see Claude's work there until, when was it, Marie?
25th of June. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
Our pleasure. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.